Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakening with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Awakenings Radio. I'm your host, Michelle Mache. Hello, those that are getting into the chat room, also known as the Sacred Space of Empowerment. Hello, everyone listening via iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and, of course, hello, everyone listening to the archives. Also, everybody, thank you so much for the appreciation comments on iTunes. I looked in there some more. It's like Christmas and Hanukkah wrapped all in one when I go and I see those comments, those reviews. So anyway, I want to thank those of you that took the time out to do that. Thanks so much. My internet's been a little wonky, or I think it's internet, but I think it might have been Blog Talk. So long to log in. So the chat room is just kind of coming up now, and I'm trying to get it on another window, so we'll see what's happening. I did get it in another window. Isn't that interesting? You just say something and it's already happening. Lots to talk about. Tamara said, oh, I forgot where I was with the heart thing. I love it. Yeah, lots to talk about today, actually, and we have Konta Bosniak is coming on later on for Awakening Conversation. She'll be joining us probably 12:45, 12:50-ish, something like that. So I'm going to get to callers as well. I do see callers on the line, which I love seeing, which is great, and we'll get chatting. I also... I'm just rearranging some stuff here. I've got some email questions that came in. Lots of people noticing this energy. You know, yesterday was the solar eclipse. And it was pretty amazing. And we're going to dive into a little bit of that. I want to also let everybody know we had amazing Soul Path workshops. Tamara and Denise were there, who are in the chat. Divine Mystic was there. Hey, cool guys. Hi. Hey, Sarah. And welcome, guests. We were looking at the planetary influences, looking at ourselves as the planetary influence and how it's being affected. And I'm letting everyone know I'm going to do more of that, especially because we've been working a lot with the subtle energy. We've been clearing a lot of stuff. And when you clear, you literally clear space. Right, vibrationally. And so we want to start co-creating. So we're going to start playing around more with conscious co-creation and looking at what your soul learning lessons are. We come in probably with 2 or 3, 5 at the most. I would say really people, 3. 3 really good lessons that are you can see are kind of a theme throughout your life. And so we're going to be looking at that and also working with archetypal imagery and the tarot, weaving that in for self-development and also prediction, you know, and looking at what energies we need to harness. And one of the reasons I really want to dive into this, I do every few years, I kind of dive into this kind of esoteric wisdom and the divination and the mystical, metaphysical tools. It's because the more you clear, you literally get clear. The clearer you are, the more accurate your readings are, the more accurate your intuition is. And so it's nice to have a place while you're getting clear and while more light is coming in, your light is so bright, to use. It's kind of just fun to harness that part of you because more of your spiritual essence, you know, wants to come out and play, so to speak. So using those tools really keen right now. The energy, so I've been getting a lot of emails. A lot of my clients have been saying this. A few people on Facebook even put it, why is everything so wonderful right now? What's going on? And I'll tell you, it's a love fest. I mean, I went out last night. I had the best time. I was telling my neighbors and some friends. It was just so much love. Girls with girls, guys with guys and girls. Love, love, love. People were just a love fest. And the band was a love fest. And then I came home and talked to my neighbor. We had this very philosophical conversation and, you know, dove deep, you know, into our stuff and what's happening in our, you know, personal lives and collectively. And everyone, it's all our hard work is paying off. And remember, we are in the time of the harmonizing. From the harmonic convergence, there's this converging flow now of so many people that are waking up and want to live more mystically, more magically, more joyfully, more with love. And I keep saying it, telling everybody, put the word out for conscious playmates, you know, even if there's disappointments. I've had a couple little disappointments in the emotional department, let's just put it that way. And I'm sad, but I also just feel so much love. I feel so much just love inside me, love in the universe, love with people. It's just, you know, I don't know. I was talking to my neighbors, and I was thinking, oh, yeah, because I'm thinking of moving to Malibu. And I'm like, you know what, I love it here. I just love everybody here. I love everybody that's around me. So, you know, that vibration, because you're moving more, in fact, Di, I think, put it in a Facebook, you know, why is there so much more grace and ease and less obstacles? And I'm like, kudos to you. We're moving in the harmonization. We're moving more by coherence and resonance. And so as there's less disharmony in your life, things get easier. And in fact, I was doing some clearing work with somebody yesterday, and we were clearing the whole idea of, you know, actually, I have three people in a row with this, and I love when that happens, because when that happens, it tells me, it shows me how far I've come or what I need to work on, either one. Sometimes a little of both. But to lighten up, that we don't have to work hard. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's kind of funny. Sometimes we do work hard. Like, I recently did this course for this company called Entheos, E-N-T-H-E-O-S, and I'll be putting a link and everything. And I had to do these 10 big ideas, and I did it all on authentic relating and relationship. And then they videotaped me. And I had to have a little help and some inspiration because I was a little overwhelmed. I had so many things going on, like with this TV show and prepping for that and the talk show and requirements for that and meetings and things to write up. And I'm a little backlogged. And so I called a friend, and she helped me, you know, kind of get my thoughts more cohesive. And then it just came, you know, but it took hours. It was hard. It was work. It was hard work, but it was fun work. It was rewarding work. And, you know, so we have to get out of that kind of, you know, Puritan work ethic, Protestant work ethic, turn of the century, you know, bean counter, factory worker, you know, with the, you know, always looking like the soup on a conveyor belt. You know, we need to get out of that mentality that if something is worthwhile, that it's going to take a lot of work, that it has to take a lot of work. And, you know, that we can have grace and ease, because remember the higher self. We have to remember the higher self. We have an aspect or a part of us that is guiding us, is directing us, is orchestrating, that already knows what's coming up ahead, knows what's in the past. And so, you know, we're to respond to our impulses. We're to respond. You know, I put a post, a video on Facebook, how we are these tuning forks. You know, we're attuning. We're constantly, you know, attuning, you know, through our radar, our sonar, our GPS. And then we're these receivers, these receptors as well, you know. So the more that we are aligned to what is life-enhancing, and I don't even like to say what's right or, you know, what's successful, but what's life-enhancing? It's just like nature. Nature does not, or an animal being, you know, doesn't go, oh, it's just going to kill me. You know, just sniffs and it's, oh, oh, this is not good. Something's off. You know, they're not going to eat it, whatever it is. It's off. You know, or a kid smells something, puts it in their mouth. No, it doesn't taste good. Spit it out. Sometimes, and here's the deal, and I've been there too. Sometimes we don't like spitting out stuff that's not good for us. We just say, oh, I decided to do this, so I'm going to stick with it. So, you know, we do need to get into that kind of divine play of the wonder child, you know, that, that we can taste something, and if we say, no, I don't like this, or I don't want this anymore, be able to move on, be okay with that, not, to not be in judgment. In the late 80s, some people say 60s, you know, older people say, but probably like, I think they said like from 62 or 67 to 68 was when the first harmonic, or when the harmonizing began, the harmonic convergence, which kind of really solidified in the late 80s, I believe 88. And from that point, that time, we decided as a collective to harmonize, to move towards coming together. We went as far as we could in the separating out game, in the being individuals. So we're not going to lose that. That's a done deal. We're unique beings, soul beings. Is, you know, we're individual aspects of the all that is. So we're unique. We're individuals. But now the pull, the push, the pull, the nudge, the urge is towards coming together. It's towards union and unity. Not in the way that loses the individuality, of course, but in the way that brings more meaning and fulfillment. So I've got calls, you know, I've got people calling me, you know, clients, I've got email, people emailing, like they're really wanting to mate. They really, I really want to partner. I really, you know, and the people that are fighting that, I know some people around me right now that they're trying to, they're kind of fighting that, you know, like I got to do my work or focus only on my work. And I'm like, you can do both. You can still be, you know, we're in relationship anyway, but to move into that authentic or conscious relating is such a gift. It's such a gift to have people that you not only get along with, but that get you, you know, that you, you guys just get each other, or a group of people. And so essentially what that is, if you, you know, it's the Aquarian energy of unification with individuality. So that interdependence, being independent yet dependent, recognizing that we are dependent on each other, not codependent, but that interdependency, that it's okay to want help, it's okay to need help, want support, it's okay to do it on your own. It's okay if somebody's not available to go ahead and do what you need to do, you know, on your own because you got it, you can handle it. Or you know that source, through source, all things are possible in that infinite wonder and awe, that somebody, a magical helper will be there. Somebody will be there for you. You turn to the left, you turn to the right. Somebody is always there, you know. And so opening up more to that within yourself, that you're there, more there for yourself, then you'll be there for others, you know, in a more and more compassionate and non-judging way. A conversation with a friend of mine that's kind of doing some stuff that's kind of not life-enhancing, let's put it that way, not life-enhancing. And he was disclosing some stuff to me and then saying, oh, I probably doing something else would be better, or focusing on something, you know, else, or maybe I should focus more on my work because they're building back up. And I said, yeah, that would be good. And then, but they were resistant to it because they're not really wanting to do the life-enhancing thing right now. They're fighting, you know, themselves in a way. And in a way I'm representing, I'm not trying to, but I'm mirroring something to that individual that isn't so comfortable, I suppose. And I just said, well, it's up to you. What's your priority? It's up to you. You know, it's up to all of us. You know, are we going for the love, the joy? Are we going for what's life-enhancing? Are we going for the appreciation of what's in the moment? I know a lot of people that I've been talking with and working with in my workshops and in my private practice, healing practice, as well as myself, are moving into that feeling of appreciation and gratitude for what we do have. And that's the new game, not focusing on what you don't have and what you need, but what you do have. Because you have to trust you will draw in what you need. Your higher self, you know, never sleeps, so to speak. So, you know, we don't have to keep, I need this, I need this, I need this, I want this, I want this. We don't have to keep going into that mode because it's already being orchestrated for us, you know. So I want to get to a couple of, we're going to get the phone line. I see people on the phone line. Okay, reading, let's see, email, from Sherry, which I love this. So here's Sherry says, hello, Michelle. This is Sherry. I've called you before, and you have predicted that I will be back with my boyfriend, and we did get back. I just wanted to know if you're able to get a reading and see where this relationship will take us and if it's good for me. I'm not able to call in today due to work, so I'm emailing you instead. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all you do. Oh, you're welcome, Sherry. Let me see. Now, those kinds of things, it's better when you call in on that kind of personal, but let's see what I get, Sherry. I get it's going to be a little up and down. Here's the thing with relationships right now. We got to just appreciate everybody and let everybody be in their own pace. I'm finding we're not all at the same pace. Some of you may be jumping for joy and wanting to, like, let's dive in and be partnered and love bug and all that. And then maybe you have somebody, and it's not always just the guys. I've been working with some women that I'm not sure, I don't know, no. It's always the case. It's kind of a cosmic joke. We don't, you know, when you're in partnership, relationship, any kind, we don't grow at the same pace. I think sometimes platonic friends do, buddies, because we tend to band together with like-minded individuals. So if you're working in a lot of, you know, you're having major growth spurts or doing a lot of inner work, or let's say you're wanting to work out, whatever it is, whatever you're wanting to do, you tend to draw people in to do that. But partnerships can be like that, but there is some kind of interesting, you know, timing that it's not always the same growth and focus. So we have to be not only patient with ourselves, but patient with each other. Let's see, Brian and Sherry. And on that note, yeah. You know, the thing is, I want to say, Sherry, this relationship is going to be very transformative for you. You're going to be learning just what I'm talking about, patience, pacing, communicating what you need and want, but also having faith that you'll get it even if it's not immediate for you, and learning what to communicate and what not to communicate. You know, we kind of all were told, I think in like in the 80s on, that you know, kind of the humanistic movement, and as we got more into like pop psychology, that we have to always tell people how we feel, and that's not true. Sometimes we beat people up with that. You know, it's like we need to tell ourselves how we feel, and we need to be, you know, maybe journaling, or if you're working with a coach or a good friend or something, you know, a mentor, teacher. But we need to know when do we need to say what we're going through, and when not to. And so either end of the spectrum is not very healthy. There are people that have trouble, you know, very challenged opening up and saying the truth of what's going on inside of them or how they feel or how someone's actions affected them, you know. And by the way, people aren't responsible for us, especially as adults. Children, yes, but, you know, those of you that are, you know, holding your spouses or significant others under the cold, you did this to me, or you do this to me, or you make me feel this way. No, you make yourself feel that way. That's why we do the emotional repatterning and clearing work. So, you know, there's a spectrum, and somewhere in between, and like Tamara put, discernment, and then also to tell the truth without manipulating people is a high heart art form. Boy, is that true. That is so true, because it's so easy to get into the you did this to me or you make me feel this way. And, you know, I sit with it with myself in my relationships. You know, it's like, how do I, because you're getting, you know, you're triggered. How do I be with these difficult emotions? How do I deal with these, you know, sad feelings? How do I deal with this hurt or this loss that the interaction that I just had with somebody triggered or brought up? You know, people are just doing what they do. People do what people do. People do themselves, right? People are being themselves, just like we are being ourselves, right? And sometimes, you know, even we hurt ourselves. Sometimes we do things that are not so life-enhancing, or we don't listen to ourselves, you know. We push ourselves too much, or whatever it is. So we're all learning, in a way, not only how to be there more for ourselves, but for each other, and to really kind of look, I like what Tamara's putting in the chat, you know, high art, you know, high heart art form, to feel and see from the eyes of the heart, like you know, you want somebody to be there for you in a certain way, but for whatever reason they can't right now. There's a limitation there. How do you stay in that space of love and acceptance and then provide for yourself what you're looking for in that individual, you know, or they let you down, you know? So we've kind of been taught to hold people hostage a bit. And again, these are things that we're all working on. There's no grand poobah here. You know, everybody is working on this to a degree. And I don't. And by the way, I mean, there's people that, you know, people say, oh, they're done or they're this way all the time. No, not necessarily. You know, everybody to some degree is working on this. It's a collective influence as well as an individual. So I love that. It's coming more from that coherence or that resonance of more harmonization. What is bringing more harmony? And sometimes we have to have some disharmony, right, to bring in harmony. You know, sometimes we do have to have those difficult discussions. Sometimes we do have, you know, bring something up to someone that they perhaps don't want to hear, or to ourselves. However, can we do it, you know, with the high heart, the art form? It is. I love that, Tamara. I just love that what she put in the chat about the high art. It's this art form. It's a delicacy. It really is to keep open. I had some news the other day, and it was so out of the blue. It just shocked me. I was in such shock for 2 days. I'm still digesting it. But sometimes that's good because then you really listen, and I found that I was able to listen. It was like a pin could have dropped with what I was hearing and receiving, and the images and the pictures that I was getting were kind of conflicting yet clear. And I think that's a place that many of us have been moving into with all that we're releasing right now, and as we're becoming more, connecting more to our soul, is we don't have to try to fix everything or make everything black and white. We need to be in the gray zone sometimes, or the multicolored zone, or the various hues or colors of something. And again, we weren't taught that as a society, but that's where the soul resides. The soul doesn't reside in black and white or up or down or hot or cold. It's all those shades in between. That's why I always describe the soul to me as it's a kaleidoscope. You know, it's a kaleidoscope of color, shapes, you know, images, however you want to describe it. And so now our life, to live more authentically, to live more consciously, is to live the kaleidoscope, to allow the kaleidoscope, you know, of our expression and our experience, to allow what doesn't seem to fit together to all come together. And so it's about releasing the disowned self, to re-own those parts of us that we have stuffed or thought were bad or don't want to come out, you know, and to be able to have people say with love, you know, I don't like you when you're like that or when you do that. You know, I don't like when you get like that. And it's like, okay, kind of, I don't either sometimes, but oh well, that's me a little bit. You know, to kind of go into that place of, again, self-love and self-acceptance. We can't, you know, we can't really have true love if we can't love ourselves, right? We can't take it in. And that's one thing I want, and then we're going to move into callers. What's happening now is because people are moving more into self-love and self-acceptance and honoring and kind of having more fun with the parts of them that are kind of stinky or they don't particularly like or they don't understand or they feel challenged in a certain area, because they're loving all of themselves more, they're experiencing all love. They're experiencing more and more love. There's more love on the planet. They're opening. So really, love is always there. It's about us. Are you able to open to it? Are you able to receive when someone says to you, hey, I'm into you, or I got you, or I love you, or you're cool. I like hanging out with you. You're fun. You know, or let's go, you know, let's go crayon together. Let's go play together. Let's go make art. Let's go to a museum. Or you know, oh, I want to teach you how to paint. Two friends of mine, they got together and they had these painting days. Another one's doing it with pottery. And they're like, I like you. You know what? And so they just sit and chat and have their tea, sometimes wine at night. And they do, they're doing these amazing pottery that they're going to be selling. I don't know if it's collectively, but I know they're doing, you know, their own individual work. But how cool to be able to tell somebody, hey, I like you. I want to hang out with you. I want to play with you, you know. Let's go to dinner. Let's go to tea. You know, let's go meditate. Let's go do yoga together. How cool is that, you know? So people are opening more to receive the love that is already there and, more importantly, the love that they already are. So people are kind of taking the lid off, the love lid off, or the limit to how much you can be loved. Some people, you know, I can only have so much or only so many friends or, you know, I can only take so much. The capacity for love is more is now as we're in that harmonizing phase, you know, connecting more by resonance and moving more into coherence. So with that, we're going to get the phone lines, the number 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad to let me know that you want to be heard. And also, yeah, press 1 on the keypad. And we got 267-777. Welcome to Awakening.
Hi, Michelle. It's Blair.
Hi.
Who is this?
Hey.
Blair.
Hey.
Who is this?
What's
Blair.
What's your first name?
Blair.
Oh, Blair. Hey, Blair. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome.
Thank you. So I had a question. My friend sent me a text message, and she basically said that her roommates are moving out in August, and she wanted me to be a roommate. And we were roommates before in college, but I'm just wondering, like, what your opinion is, if I should go for it.
Well, first of all, I want to ask, what do you feel about it when I just ask you what do you feel? And what do you think about it?
I think it'll be a good opportunity. I don't, like, normally if I don't feel something is right, my body kind of tenses up, like, you know, gives away these signals.
Yep.
But I don't feel that at all. So,
no. It looks good here. There's a lot of Libra energy around it, so it's a lot of sharing and partnership.
She's a Libra, too.
Oh, interesting. Oh, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So I think you guys would have fun. I do think that you would be able to just have your own space as well. I don't feel she's totally would crowd you or needy, but I do think you guys would also do stuff together, that you would also hang out. And
right.
I feel for you right now, you are wanting more of that sharing right now. You know, it just – a lot of people I find right now are doing a roommate thing, doing, you know, with either house or part, whatever. I'm just seeing more people are coming together in community. I've had some friends of mine are in their 40s, and they're talking about getting a house, you know. So I feel like there's this coming together, and I think I even heard a statistic the other day that it's not only the 20-somethings that are going back to live with their parents, but baby boomers as well. And, of course, they're saying it's the economy. Sort of it is, but in the big picture, what it is we're going back to the tribal, the community aspect of our being. We went as far as we could separating out. So I think it'd be good for you. And I think because you're feeling it in your body as a relaxation and not a constriction, that's
right.
A really good sign, you know.
Awesome.
I always say, and I think, Blair, you've heard me say this, you know, one of the ways we can tell if we're doing something that's, you know, coherent, that's of more resonance for us and less dissonance, is when you think about the situation or you think about the person or you think about the decision that you're making, if your breath goes a little deeper and actually your heart opens, I literally can feel my shoulders slightly going back and my chest kind of rising a little bit. And if I'm thinking of doing something that is really not life-enhancing or of enough resonance, I do feel like you, Blair. I feel a constriction. I feel like my body kind of coils down, and there's a, you know, it's, you know, can't tell, but I can feel it.
Right.
There's almost kind of like a going within, like, ooh, like you want to just shield yourself, like put your hands up, no, you know. I think if more people would go by that, you know, even eating, doing certain activities, you know, that's another one. I mean, if you can tell if you're going for something and you can feel it's tightening, and if the head's saying, yeah, go ahead, do it, the body's saying, no, that's you know, that's the sonar, that's the tuning fork. It's picking up those vibrations and giving you that message. So, yeah. So when would you move?
She's saying August, so I'm thinking, like, when should I start looking for jobs now? Because that's also a concern for me, too. Like,
let's see. I feel, yeah, What? Now, are you, okay, you're moving, but is this also a large move? Where are you moving to?
This would be in
kind
New York.
Of large. Oh, so it's a big, because I feel a big move, right? It's like out of the area, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is definitely
oh, yeah,
like
for
2 hours
you.
Away.
Oh, yeah, that's what, okay. So, yeah, for some reason I feel like you're going to, your life is really going to pick up when you move.
You know, I feel that too. I definitely feel that.
I love it. Yeah, I feel like it's going to be a really good move for you. I feel like relationship too. There's going to be a lot of with you around relationship. So, yeah, I would, yeah, start working, doing what you can. I feel like you can also work for yourself. I feel like you could do a few things. So, yeah, I would definitely dive into that and just prepare. You know, be in the prep mode that you're starting this new life. This year, I don't know if you've heard me mention this, Blair, but, you know, I'll share it with you and then, you know, our listeners, co-hosts in the chat, co-pilots. You know, there's a lot of turning points this year. There's a lot of decisions. And I was saying that 2 years ago. I was saying that last year. Last year was a lot of releasing and a lot of prep. And this year, there's a lot of major decisions and turning points, like moves, you know, people, you know, cohabitating or living together, marriage. They're just like major, major turning point changes to bring people into a better, not only better alignment with themselves, but with more like-minded individuals, more people around them, whether, you know, online, virtual, or, you know, in person. So you're going to see, especially during this next gateway, that May 15th on when Mars goes direct, May, June, and then you'll see again September a little bit in October. October is a really pivotal time as well. And then, of course, the close of the year, December, January, and into February, that next gateway. That's another thing. The gateways are lasting longer, so we're having more intense energy to help us through these changes. So look and see what were you getting rid of last year? You know, what were some decisions, things that you were having to release? That happened also the beginning, well, February, March, and into April of this year. But you'll notice that since April on, people have been getting a lot of heads up of what new directions. So I feel, Blair, you're falling, you know, you're right in that. You're right in that.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah. Major turning point, you know, so think expansion with the turning points. Even if there's a little decrease, there'll be a quick increase. If you've been doing your inner work and you're aligned, that's the thing. Some people are, you know, some people the turning points are going to bring them to the fact that you need to make major changes. They're going to be hitting some walls, you know, and then they'll have their upswing. But it's basically the soul self, the higher self saying, no, this is boring. We can't go in this direction anymore. It's not life enhancing. You know, we want more self-expression. We want more creativity. We want more love. We want more, you know, what's best for you. So if you're making decisions that aren't so healthy or aren't so great, expect to get some little canucks on the head, you know. Not to punish you, but just to say, hey, turn the corner. You're done with this. An imbalance is here. Yeah. So, Blair, keep us posted.
I will. Thank you so much, Michelle.
Yeah. And by the way, it was great to have you at the Soul Path workshop. And I'm gonna get the MP3 out. I have a little posty to do that. To get that, I downloaded it, so I did that at least.
Thank you. Those workshops are like the best thing in the world. They really, really help.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, I've been getting people telling me that since they've been doing the teleworkshops, how much their life is changing, how they're drawing in more of what they want, or they're more peaceful, they're less triggered.
Right.
There's grace and ease in their life. Things are happening more synchronistically. And, I'm a little selfish because I love doing them, but I also get benefit also. I'm noticing, I'm not holding on to things as much when I'm going through something. It just kind of, or I have people, have you found that you're just kind of drawing in the bright people?
Yes.
More to your life?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Talk later.
Bye.
Okay, so we've got other callers. I don't know if people are just listening. Should I pick up? Should I? Because you've been on. I don't know if you're listening by phone, or would you like to say hello, or did you have a question? I'm thinking one person here. 818-850. Have you been listening?
Hello?
Hello. I knew it was you. I just want to say hi. Hey, Gailey. Oh, it went out. Gail, hey. Are you there? Hung up. Okay. Anyway, let's see, who's this? 808-895, you're on Awakening.
Hi, Michelle. This is Mary Beth. How are you?
Hey, Mary Beth. Great. How are you?
That's funny. I didn't press one. I was trying to give other people a chance, but I do have
questions for you. Oh, you do? Cool. Okay.
Yeah. I actually feel you in the morning, like when you're preparing for the show on Wednesday mornings. I'm like, oh, she's putting the call out.
That's right.
So I have an issue I've been working with that brings up a lot of really, really deep fear for me. Mm-hmm. And I have an issue with my breath when I'm in the water. And I've been swimming a lot. I used to surf a lot, and something changed with me. And I just completely psyched myself out. I mean, I'm a good swimmer, but it's something mental.
Okay.
I just am not making any headway with. And I know it's something like, I mean, I really get scared when I think that I can't breathe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me just tune into this a little bit.
Okay.
When did it start?
Like the last couple of years.
Yeah, okay. I get a couple things. One thing, I do feel that breath work would help you. Even now, I feel like you're tending to breathe more shallowly.
I do a lot of breath work, though. I mean, really, my meditation practice and my yoga practice.
What kind of breath work are you doing?
I do pranayama, I do ujjayi breathing, I do a lot of work with my yoga. I'm in a really dedicated practice, and
okay.
It's been years of
so,
it.
So, okay, two
it's
things
something
I'm going
totally
to
it's mental.
No, I know that. But what I'm going to suggest is there's a yin breath, because most of the pranayamas are very more yang-centered. Even the yogic mm-hmm. breath is considered more of an active breath.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to suggest is take a nice, breath in, and then you're going to center the breath into the center of the body, and you're actually going to breathe laterally instead of vertically up and down, like breathing horizontally, so that you kind of contain the breath more into the heart area, into the solar plexus, and it's like you're breathing in and out, feeling the breath go into the dorsals, into the back. So you're breathing more horizontally, I guess you would call it.
Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying.
Okay, cool. Now, the other thing is, I do agree with you, a mental, emotional thing. I feel there was a lot of loss. What I feel like two and a half years ago, 2.3 is what they're telling me. What was going on? Because I feel like there was a lot of loss, confusion. Had you broken up with somebody?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. It's that breakup triggered it. And it kind of really unstabilized your world.
Oh, yeah.
So that, there's wonderful, since you do a lot of meditation, you can do this. There's just wonderful, going back to that time frame and connecting with that part of you and bringing your present self now, your wisdom back there and just even visualize and feeling what it is that you didn't get back then that you needed.
Mm-hmm.
And then feel that part, then bring that part forward, bring that aspect of you forward. But it's stuck back there and it literally couldn't breathe. It felt like the wind was knocked out of it is what I'm hearing it say. So that destabilizing situation, that's the area you need to go, for the peace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and it does go back even, like, bounces back more and more, like a mirror, another one, and another one, and another one. Clear back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes I think my mom had a lot of issue with asthma a lot, and I'm a real empathic
mm-hmm.
person. I think sometimes I would feel that struggle for breath.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, it's just, clearing
that's
that.
And I can do, we can't do it today because we've got, time-wise, but, even one of the workshops or schedule something, with me, you can call or email info@selfandlight.com or we can do something. But, yeah, it is, and a lot of times asthma a lot of times is two things, not being able to take in enough, not feeling you have the room to take in the spiritual energy,
mm-hmm.
which is more of your own essence. And not always, but that is a big part. Kind of feeling kind of smothered or drowned out. And that spiritual essence comes through the breath, inspirar. That's where inspiration comes from, to inspire, to
uh-huh.
breathe in. And when we leave our body, we expire, we release it out. So, yeah, I would follow it back as far as you can to reclaim that part of you to feel safe again and not destabilized and snuffed out. You can even go back in and see if your mom had those issues. Go back and see if you can release some of that energy. That's what I do in the resonance work. When we do the repatterning, the alpha theta healing, is you see what you're resonating with now, and then you open up to the resonance, basically what the complementary or the healing aspect would be. And anybody can do that. If you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling distressed, feel how that feels in the body. Notice what the resonance is, because there's a feeling and an emotional component and a mental component of beliefs that go with feeling, with these emotional states. So when you feel that resonance, what does the resonance of anger feel like? When you feel that and then start feeling the resonance of peace, start feeling the resonance of calm and that it's okay to breathe, it's okay to let go, it's okay
mm-hmm.
to draw in, it's okay to let go. That'll start shifting the energy on a mental emotional level, but even on a cellular level. If you do it enough, it changes, the body.
Yeah, I guess that's just
body
what I'm
going
to do. Just do it enough, because I'm doing what you're saying, and I totally am following you. It's just, I guess I just need to do it more. And I know it goes way back. I'm sure it's past what.
Yeah.
I even have an idea of.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's hard. That's why when I do, honestly, Mary Beth, when I do the inner work, because I'll have some ideas of what's going on with somebody, or they'll have something. But if we knew what it was, it would be gone. You wouldn't have it anymore. And so that's why whenever, So what I was taught in my training was we always ask the higher self. So I'll chat with somebody, you know, just like we're doing now, and then we'll go in. We go into that deep meditative state, open to the inner psyche. I call it also the captain of the ship, and then say, where is this? What is this?
But okay, so what if I've got that far? State. Then where do you go from there? Because I've got
then
that
you
far.
Go,
I...
Then call me. I can't do it on over the phone.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
But, yeah.
Okay.
We'll
you know, it's funny because I've been wanting to do breath classes, too, to teach breath classes. So this is funny because this has just taken me so much deeper. And I can see how my journey brings this stuff up for me.
Let's start that then. That can also be the method. That can also be, start those classes.
Yeah, I know. I need to do that.
Yeah. ASAP, start those classes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, sweetie, good to talk with you.
Thank you for your time. I love you. Bye-bye.
Love you, too. Bye-bye. Okay, let's see. Waiting for our guest. 405-543, welcome to Awakenings Radio.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi.
What's your name?
Corbin.
Corbin? Hi, Corbin.
I was wondering if you're familiar with astral projecting.
Oh, yeah. I started that when
really?
I was 13. Yeah, I
really?
Loved it.
Well, I'm kind of scared to do it, but I really want to have an out-of-body experience, so can you give me some things to not be scared of? Or no, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's just, you know, I don't want to say should or whatever, but don't be scared of you, because there's nowhere that you're going to go. You're just going to expand. You know, essentially, when we're doing my workshops, those of you that take them, the Soul Path workshops, we are astral. We're doing interplane work. So you're going into that etheric field. So
okay,
it's safe. You got to, you know, it's safe to do. There's just all love anyway. So
my friend,
yeah,
he said that he...
Yeah, go ahead. Your friend what?
Oh, so my friend said that he was told by his father that if you astral project, you can see other people that are astral projecting. I don't know if that's like,
I've said it.
Like you can communicate with other people that are also astral.
Yes, you can. Absolutely.
Oh.
Think of the astral plane as like a, but that's not the place just to stay. The astral plane is like a freeway. You know, we want to have it clear to correspond to the emotional body. You can also think of it as like an elevator. So the astral plane is just moving, you know, on the etheric level, it's just moving from the denser physical body, or they call the gross body, which is our body form.
Yeah.
It's just, it's right, it's moving, it's extending or expanding your awareness, if you will.
Yeah.
But there's many, because you can go into the subtle energy plane, you can go beyond the astral plane. So the astral plane is just a way to, it's just the elevator to get into the higher spiritual, more expanded spiritual realm. We do a lot of, when you get dreams, a lot of your dreams are based on the astral plane. That's why I've had dreams before with people. Two situations come to mind with a couple of people that were in one of my yoga classes years ago, and we saw each other in our dreams.
Oh, really?
So
that's
actually happens sometimes. Yeah, and I have people, clients have told me, oh, you visited me last night, or you said this and that. That sometimes I remember, sometimes I know. Sometimes like, yeah, I was talking to you, or I relayed this, or they're like, you gave me this key or this book, and I will have the same dream. So you can actually, program yourself with your friends or your buddies, you know, make an agreement to yourself, to each other, that you want to do this, you want to open to this. Sometimes it just happens naturally if you're really close to people. It'll just happen. I mean, the dream, one of them that I had with this woman, a good friend of mine, Darcy, and it was the most amazing dream. It was like with this pillars and all of this like gossamer, like flowy, you know, it was like we were reading in Atlantis or something.
Yeah.
And we met up at yoga class, and she saw me, and she like had this like, her eyes were like wide, almost teary, like, oh, I got to tell you something. And I was like, oh, I got to tell you something. We were both like, oh. And she's like, what? And I go, the dream. She goes, and then she goes, the pillars. I go, yeah, I'm the Chloe. And she goes, oh, it was you. And I go, it was you. You know, we were there. So,
that's
it
crazy.
Can happen when you're, Yeah, so it can happen when you're, you know, just open to it and when you're close. Like, it's happening anyway, but do you remember? That's the deal. We're all visiting each other anyway because we're all interconnected, and especially, especially astrally.
Like, I have this friend in Sweden, and I can't talk to him, obviously, because he's in Sweden. And so, and he wants to hang out astrally, and I was like, what are you talking about? And then he brought me.
I love it.
Yeah, he brought me here, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Very cool. Very cool. And we'll enjoy. It's amazing.
Thank you.
Mean, as a kid, because I, you know, was a, well, channeling at age 4, I was, you know, naturally intuitive, and I would see, you wouldn't call them ghost spirits, you know, lots of psychic phenomena. And I'd be laying in bed or taking a nap, and the phone ring. I couldn't get to the phone, and I would see myself hovering over my body. And I was like, what the heck is this? And back in the day, you know, because I had to go to the library, you know, we didn't have programs like this. And, you know, I knew I was intuitive or psychic. My friends knew. My mom knew. Yeah, my family. But nobody either talked about it. Number one, I thought everybody was like this. And number two, nobody really talked about it. There was really not that many places to go.
Yeah.
So I marched my little behind. I don't even know how I knew what it was. I might have asked somebody. I don't know. I went to the library and... because I kept having these out-of-body experiences. I kept astral projecting. And I would just be frozen, and I would try to get the phone. I couldn't get the phone. Just, and then I would watch myself, and, oh, my God, I'm laying down. There's my phone ringing, you know, my book that I was reading.
Yeah.
And I'm up here. And so I went to the library, and I learned how to do it. I got this book on it, little paperback book, and I learned how to do it consciously at will. And I would just sit in my room and just astral project. You know, it was a wonderful way to just deal with parents that were arguing. I just, let me go.
Yeah, because...
I'm not here.
Because, like, the reason why I'm not doing it is because, like, all the methods on astral projecting, they're, like, talking about, like, sleep paralysis and stuff, and you have to be conscious while you're sleeping or something. And I'm like, okay. And then, like...
No,
it was just...
Don't worry about
weird.
It.
Weird, I don't know. All right.
One way that you can do it is just sitting down and just relax your body, relax your vision, you know, kind of, this is a good way to see auras as well, just kind of let your eyes go kind of half-mast.
Yeah.
And then just start staring at parts, like I started with my arm, staring at my arm and just feeling the energy of my arm and visualizing myself above my arm or my arm above my arm. You do it with body parts. Then you'll immediately... You'll start astral projecting. Yeah.
Wow.
Cool. Thanks, Corbin. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Okay, we got time for one quick one. Or I already did the 267-777.
No, it's me, Blair. I'm listening.
Oh, cool. Okay. Very cool. All right. Good. All right. All right. We have back with us for our Awakening Dialogue, friend, family member of Awakenings, we have Kanta Bosniak here. And many of you know Kanta Bosniak as a wonderful writer. She's also an amazing artist and hypnotherapist. And over a period of 12 years, she painted a series of 60 contemporary folk art portraits that she uses as teaching tools, which she exhibits in universities and other educational settings. The first two paintings of the series were debuted as part of a solo show she had at the Edgar Casey's Association for Research and Enlightenment. Her latest book is Abundance Triggers, a term she coined for her book of the same name, meaning the help that we get to shift our state from that part of us which focuses on the problem to the part that accesses creative solutions. I want to welcome artist, writer, and just amazing being, Kanta Bosniak. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Michelle. Thank
Hello.
You. Great to be back.
great to have you back here as well. It's so perfect, too, because people, I don't know if you've heard some of the program, have been calling it, you know, a lot of wonderful openings and things happening, but also challenges as well, you know, and how do
yes.
you, right heel, or which is a perfect person, because all along with abundance triggers, you also, I was talking to a friend of mine today about your book, Surviving Cancer and Other Tough Stuff, how you work with visualization and various. So let's just dive in real quick, and then we'll get to the abundance triggers and the seeding and everything. But I want to get your take on it. What are some, maybe, I don't know, quicker things or focuses that people can do when they have something maybe mentally, emotionally blocking them or stopping them, or a physical challenge like the breathing issue, not being able to, you know, breathe? What can people do to start a healing process?
Well, I love when you said the resonance of peace. And I think one way to articulate abundance triggers is they're visual, tactile, and auditory, as well as other sorts of triggers or anchors to help you shift your state into a particular resonance of peace. The resonance of peace, the resonance of relaxation, the resonance of the specific resonance that you're desiring. And there, I think there are many shades of peace. It's peaceful to feel excited. It's peaceful to feel courage when courage is what's called for. It's peaceful to simply feel relaxed, as you were describing the meditative state that one would go into to astrally project or that sort of thing. And so Abundance Triggers is, the book Abundance Triggers is filled with a toolbox, a visual, tactile, auditory, and other triggers. And it is my most recent mind-body-spirit book, per se. There are some more recent books that are the books of love poems. But yes, it is my most recent of the mind-body-spirit books. And it's really probably always going to be my central book, because Abundance Triggers is really the sort of central theme from which many things ray out. And the connection between Abundance Triggers and this series, Mentors of the Peace, I sometimes call the exhibits Mentors of the Peace. I sometimes call them icons of excellence. So they're really these icons are really a kind of subset of the visual triggers, the archetypal images, of which there are many different. I mean, hearts, chalices, mandalas. I sometimes paint my own version of West African Adinkras, which are pictographs which have particular meanings. And there's a special, I have a special place in my heart for images of people, because I love biographies, and I love the stories of people, how they found their way to their particular resonance of peace, their particular gifts. And these images that are in this painting series, and which I've also adapted to poster prints, these images can help us connect with our own inner mentors, our own inner essence. What is the resonance of peace for me? What is the resonance of peace for you? So it's going to be your gift, the essence of Michelle, the essence of Kanta, the essence of you, each listener today. And I do travel with the original paintings. I travel with, as you said, to universities and other settings, sometimes churches, to really help people connect with what's exciting for them, because I think that when we're fulfilled, when we're offering our gifts, we feel peaceful ourselves. We don't feel that flat kind of depressed feeling or that agitated feeling that we can get when we're not fully alive and fully expressing ourselves.
Yeah.
And I also think that, as, you know, Professor Einstein expressed, I'm paraphrasing his words, but something along the lines of we can't solve our problems as a world culture at the same level that we created them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, you know, we have environmental concerns. We have we have serious ethics problems at every level of our life, you know, in politics, in food supply, in social equality, marriage, every level, education, everything. And we simply can't solve these problems without using the best minds and the best part of our minds and encouraging young people to develop these things. So we really need to be the best that we can be, and we need to connect with our gifts. So these images are really made to help us not worship the iconic figures, such as, you know, I have images of Martha Graham, the dance person, Coco Chanel, who is an amazing pioneer, not just of fashion, but of, she was a feminist, Albert Einstein and others. Oh, yeah, she was an amazing person in her way. I mean, yes, you can be a feminist and also be a girly girl. I look at a feminist and girly girl every time I wash my face and brush my hair.
I
bet
agree
you do,
you know,
too.
I think, you know, I do, exactly. You know, one thing to me you're touching upon, and of course they've been kind of in a religious sense, and definitely in the Eastern religions as well, but that there's a transmission. And I think that's why I always suggest to people, like when you're making major change or you're scared of something, you know, like books, biographies, videos, you know, but you're even saying with images, I think there can be like a transmission when you see an image of somebody that has tried and made it or whatever, is harnessing that energy. I know Frida Kahlo does that for me, Kahlo. I can just look at her and it's like, you know, it's such a profound example, you know, that cliche saying, you know, got lemons, make lemonade. It's like, okay.
Yes.
You got heartache, create. You know, you got pain, create. You're frustrated, paint a picture, create, write a poem, you know.
Yes.
Do you think we get this transmission? I mean, do you think the images? You do.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I think that each one of us is going to take from these iconic images what is meaningful to us, because really it's about us. Mm. It's not about the person so much as it is about what thinking about or seeing that image triggers within us. So, yes, absolutely, the making lemonade. When I think of her, I just absolutely love her art. And I think of Full Tilt Life.
Yeah.
I mean, absolute, complete, all the way enlivenment, and I think of authenticity.
Yeah.
Because her work was like nobody else's. And that just makes me happy.
Yeah. Me as well. With anybody just stepping out there and doing their art, just creating, self-expressing, taking that, you know, that divine grist and morphing it into something that can be seen or heard, understood, felt, tapped into.
And felt.
I just felt. Isn't it? Amazing.
Yes.
Just amazing.
And really, and you can actually you can consciously choose images, and this is really what Abundance Dreams is about. You can consciously choose images as well as, of course, the other, you know, sense triggers, auditory and tactile and all that sort of thing. But you can consciously choose those images that are specifically targeted to what it is that you want to be feeling and what thoughts you want to be thinking and what feelings connect with those thoughts. So, for example, courage which might be one. I think images of Dr. King would be, that would come up. Images of peace might be images of, I think of images of the divine feminine when I think of love and compassion. And I have some of those, actually many of my paintings, not the icon series so much, not the series that's biographically depicting particular people, but I have all kinds of paintings and as well posters, prints in my Etsy gallery and store of images of the divine feminine, which really is that within all of us that is empathic and compassionate, you know. And as far as a person that might depict that, I think of the Dalai Lama. So the poster of him for me, and as well as the painting of him that I did, that's what I think of when I see that image. And someone else might think something different. I think forgiveness is something that shows up. I mean, certainly related to compassion, but if ever a person is emblematic of forgiveness, it would be him. You know, I saw an interview of him with a woman who was so angry that he seemed to be compassionate towards the Chinese, and his take on it was, I know because of other reading that I've done on sociopathy, that he defines such, you know, those folks, where others define them as subhuman or even not human, he says they're not fully developed. There's a seed there, but they're just very young. And so he said to her in a very calm voice and patient voice, something along the lines of, those whom these folks are hurting are burning their karma, their sanskaras. And those who are doing the hurting, I have compassion for them because they're not being freed from their karma. They're creating long-term karma. And so, you know, to me, because I know, because I've read this and seen this, and my dad actually met him and spent an afternoon with him one-on-one and kind of gave me the brief report,
right.
Which was, he's a very nice man. I think he's a very nice man, my dad. So, I mean, to me, that humility and peacefulness really gets triggered when I see that painting, and I like to see that painting. It makes me happy. So the purpose of this painting series was to help people connect with their own qualities, and I think that is the purpose of icons. Icons are not, I mean, that's the true purpose of icons, just as, you know, you don't worship the finger that's pointing to the moon or to wisdom. You pay attention to the wisdom that it's pointing to. So it's the same thing with icons. They're pointing to something that is inside you. So you
That's
go there.
That's a good
there.
Thing for people to remember. That's a good thing to remember.
Yeah. You go there and you find your courage, or you find your joy, or you find your... Albert Einstein's probably my most popular poster, Einstein, Tesla, and probably Coco Chanel are some of the most popular ones. And Einstein's an interesting guy because times have changed, and we actually think of Einstein differently now than we did when I was a little girl in the 50s. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, in that day, Einstein was synonymous with genius.
Mm-hmm.
You know, intelligence, a smart person, a learned person.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because we know more about him, there's been such fascination with him, he has become synonymous with a particular kind of genius. We all know, okay, yes, he was a learned person, he was a knowledgeable person, and all of that. And now we know more about how he got to that and how he accessed that. And Einstein, every single day after a lunch, did self-hypnosis, a.k.a. meditation, same thing. You know, and he did this in part because it was a spiritual practice for him. And he also did it in part because this was the way that he could access his full intelligence. And so he has really become, he's now become, I mean, for some people, he probably still is an icon of just a smart person. But for increasingly large numbers of people, he's an icon for that which we can do to access our creativity and the fullness of our being. Did I tell you the story about that the rabbi in Einstein? The last time
No. But I love Einstein as well, because for the meditation and also I'm a big proponent of like naps and daydreaming, and he did a lot of that for his problem solving.
Well, what is guided meditation or hypnotherapy but creative and specifically targeted daydreaming? You know, there's so many different ways to call it, and daydreaming would be one, I think, creative daydreaming. So way back many years ago, before I became a mom, for a couple of reasons, partly because I'm a very intellectually curious person and I like to explore different religions and study different spiritual paths, and also to kind of, I don't know, placate my in-laws who were Jewish, I decided that I would take a class in Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. And I took the class. My husband and I went, and I'd say there were probably 10 other couples maybe. And I was very fortunate to take this class with Rabbi Mara Scholson, who was a very elderly man at the time and was highly respected in the city of Philadelphia as a very learned man. Well, he told this story to us about the time that he was tapped. He was called upon, and he was a super young rabbi at this time, to go to travel to Princeton and pick up the professor and bring him to the city of Philadelphia for the rededication and renaming of what was then called the Jewish Hospital to the Albert Einstein Hospital. So Rabbi Scholson goes there, picks him up, and has him, just as my dad had a couple of hours with the Dalai Lama, and Rabbi Scholson had a couple of hours with Einstein. You know, these are like dream. Like,
I know.
Who would you like to spend 2 hours with?
Exactly. I know. Wow. Amazing.
I'd like to spend 2 hours with you sometime. But anyways.
Yeah.
There he is in the car, and he said to us, well, I had him in the car. He was a captive audience. And I asked him what anyone would ask him. I said, what makes you so smart?
Mm.
And Einstein said, well, it's like this car. It has 8 cylinders. We all have 8 cylinder brains, but most people don't use all their cylinders. I do.
Mm.
And, of course, what he was referring to was he put himself in a meditative state every day. And he said that, I read in a different, and so he accessed his intuition and his creativity in that way. And I actually read at a separate time and place an account that Einstein said of the moment that he accessed his theory of relativity, and he was in a reverie. He was in one of those afternoon moments. And he said, I saw it coming, sliding down to me over a sunbeam.
Wow.
Sort of like a coming down a sliding board.
Right.
And
right.
It came down and into him, into his consciousness. So very much like what you were saying to your listener before about don't be afraid. You're really just accessing more yourself more deeply.
Yeah. That's so true. It's like we're I get this a lot too, Kanta, with people that come with me for like intuition development and stuff, and a lot of times they'll be afraid, you know.
Yes.
And you know, it's but just a little side note because it kind of fits into this. I know you'll get a kick out of this, but my mom, when she was crossing over, you know, I helped her a lot. She was a bit of a mystic herself and knew what I did and was intuitive. Yeah, and I was modeling at the time and acting, so I was traveling all over the world, and I'd come back and hang with her, and she's like, oh, I saw the silver cord, and we talked, mom, you know, grandpa's there, grandma's there, and I'm like, yeah, they're coming to greet you. So we have these great on-the-phone conversations and then also in person. Yeah, I felt so...
That's wonderful.
Blessed. Oh yeah, it was so amazing. You know, and she could shared with me stuff that was on the other side, and so I wanted desperately to be there at because I was shamanically trained. I'd been working with people crossing over, and I just wanted to be there with my mom, and all my teachers at the time said, "You're not meant to be there." Every reading I got said, "You're not going to be there," and I was like orchestrating everything. And, of course, the carrot for me was I worked with this I did this commercial, worked with this amazing director, and I got offered this amazing job, but I had to fly to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of flying home, so I thought I'll go there for the meeting and then I'll fly home. So I'm in New York, I'm jogging, and all of a sudden my mom comes to me, and I just felt her and smelled her.
Wow.
Thought, she crossed over.
Yeah.
I called my dad, or my dad, and said, you know, yeah, your mom passed. I said, I know. And he goes, how do you know that? And I said, because she came to me. And I said, well, it was 9:30 New York time. And I said, did mom pass at 6:30? How did you know that? I go, because it's 9:30 here. We're 3 hours ahead. But anyway, what I wanted to share is, so I get in the door, and both my dad and one of my brothers was like, mom had a strange request, you know, when she right before she crossed over. And I was like, yeah. You know, and they're like, she wants you to stay in her room. And they're like, but you don't have to, you know, we know it's, and I'm like, what are you guys afraid of? They're like, well, we know it's, you know, you might be a little afraid. And I'm like, oh my God, no. You know, I go, it's mom, you guys, it's mom. But what was it? She brought me the near death experience. And I had an amazing experience, and she came to me in the white light and whatever. And I, you know, I'd had a near death experience when I was 4, and then she brought me this one. But to your point, I was like, why are they afraid?
Yeah.
I'd be more afraid when she was alive. I mean, she had a little way about her, you know, let me just say that. I knew when she's on the other side, it's all peace and joy. You know, I was like, I get the good stuff, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I totally relate to that.
Yeah.
I can feel my dad around me a lot. Yeah.
Can you? What is that? Here's our mom, my dad's wife. What is that? I never understood that people go into this thing that, like, well, I'm afraid, or what am I going to meet, or you don't have to do it, you know.
I think it's very primitive. I think it's very kind of, this is just my take on it, but for what it's worth, I feel like it's a little bit like, you know, sort of if you think Course in Miracles, you know, that sort of primitive fear that the ego has of the mystery that we find it convenient to call God. It's like we think we've fallen out of the universe. We think we're bad. We think we're going to get punished. We think that anything that's, you know, not a tactile thing that we can touch and nail down and control is scary. In some part of ourselves, in our ego stuff, I think we think that. And so, well, of course, then, anything on the other side would be a little scary. But, I think it's the unknown. It's fear. It's fear of the unknown. And I think the antidote is, as for everything, is shifting yourself into a state of peace. I mean, I knew, I've known people who were, I helped them with their, I've also done some of that work, you know, been a support person to them as they were packing their bags. And who were not the slightest bit afraid, because they, they also had psychic ability and knew good and well that it's not the end.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, when you know that, because you've seen it and experienced it already, then what is there to be afraid of? I had a experience that what you were saying was reminding me of a time when I was I was maybe in my mid-late 30s. I don't remember exactly when, but it was a good long time ago. And I don't know whether you're aware of this, but I used to be a meditation teacher for Ananda Marga Yoga way long in my when I was 20, and I did that for several years. And then I kind of went off on my own with meditation teaching because I didn't, you know, I liked some of it. I sort of took what I liked and left the rest, put it like that. And I still have a lot of respect, but I have my own way of doing things. So that was when I was in, you know, 20 to 25, something, 26, whatever it was. And I left that with good cheer, with gratitude, with appreciation, and also with a bit of feeling that perhaps the founder of Ananda Marga maybe wouldn't quite approve of me. You know, because I was sort of my own person and I thought for myself. However, that mental thought didn't jibe with my intuitive understanding of him that I got in dreams where he always showed up with a sense of humor, mischievous, and loving. And really something that was very peaceful to resonate with. So there was a disconnect for me, and that was one of the reasons I left the organization, because I couldn't jibe those two. The Baba that I knew and the Baba that everyone else seemed to be knowing was not the same Baba, you know. So, and, you know, I just wasn't a natural vegetarian. I feel tired and depleted when it's not right for me. So anyway, I went off on my own, and so here I am one afternoon. It's after lunch, and I'm a young mother, and my son was in school, and I was at home writing and painting and doing fiber arts and this sort of thing. That's what I did in those days, and not unlike what I do now. And so after lunch, I start my meditation. And in the middle of the meditation, and this had, it had been years since I'd been involved in Ananda Marga, and Baba had not been in my mind for all this time, really. And so anyways, I'm there doing my meditation, and all of a sudden it comes over me this feeling of extreme paternal love and approval. And it's just mind-boggling. It's overwhelming, but not overwhelming. Pleasantly so. Heartwarming and encouraging. And I get this kind of message in my mind. You're doing, I love your attitude. I love your irreverence. I love that you think for yourself. Keep doing it. You're doing a good job. Keep doing it. And then it was gone. And I was sort of left with, like, what just happened?
Wow.
And it was him. I could feel, times that I had dreams of him, I always knew what he had, a particular essence of him. Mm-hmm. And so 3 days later, I found out from a dear friend that Baba had died right at that, at that time. I'm sure he came to lots of other people, but that he came to me and gave me that, atta girl, was really meaningful to me.
Mm, love that.
And when my father died, my sister got a call at, I think it was midnight, she told me. And all she heard was shuffle, 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 sort of like someone's walking. And she had this feeling that Dad, and that he had passed, and that he had somehow managed to reach out. And she called my brother, or she talked with my brother, because he called her and to say, Dad died. And my sister said, what time? And it was that's when it was, when she
heard it was.
So pretty interesting, huh?
It is. I mean, it's like we're so, and I think more people are opening to this part of themselves. It is us. It is another part of it.
It is.
Sixth sense. And there's this movement, and definitely the work that you do as well to help people unblock and reconnect with that part of themselves or the fuller mm-hmm. part of themselves. Unblock what's stopping.
Yep.
Stopping the connection. Kanta, we're running out of time here.
I
want to touch on something. I know. That you have an audible.com. You have.
I do. The book Abundance Triggers has a companion guided imagery. Abundance Triggers is to help you get a toolbox. It gives you a toolbox of state shifters, and it also helps you create your own. And there's a complementary guided imagery that really works well with the book that originally I made as a CD. And I think you had the picture of the CD on your blog talk site. And I morphed it rather recently, within the last year, into an audible.com guided imagery so that you can download it and on your device. And I'm really happy about it because it's so inexpensive for people. And also people all over the world can get it, where it just used to be a United States thing before when it was a CD.
Oh, okay.
So it helps people tap in.
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And that's an audible... .com.
Well,
yeah,
they can actually just go right to, they can go to Audible,
oh.
or they can just go to Amazon and find it.
You
can find it on Amazon as well as all my other books. And the if I may spam for just a second, people can find my poster prints at Etsy. If you just key in Kanta Bosniak Etsy, you'll find it. It's my gallery there is, I call it the Minister of Art.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I love that. Kanta, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
You're amazing. I always love chatting with you, and I love sharing you with more of the world. I love your stuff.
Oh, thank you. I always have fun, too. I appreciate it.
Thanks for being here. And thank you, listener participants, for being here as well. I love sharing with all of you and bringing our amazing guests to you for wonderful awakening dialogue. That was Kanta Wozniak for our enlightened conversation today. And you can find out more information by going to KantaWozniak.com or Kanta Wozniak, and just Google her on Etsy if you want to see some of her iconic images. And also you can find some of her books, and also the CD is available on Amazon.com. All right, lovies, great to connect with all of you. See you when I see you, hopefully next Wednesday. Until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.